You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, men aren't always encouraged to be open and honest about their feelings, but our guest psychologist says men can and should share their emotional lives more freely.
First, Governor Scott Walker announced yesterday that he's seeking applications to fill Justice David Prosser's seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Prosser announced he'll be retiring at the end of July. The appointee would stay on the court until 2020 because of laws regarding justice appointments and elections.
For more on this news, Capital Times reporter Caitlin Farrell joins us now to talk about the process. Caitlin, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, first off, tell us about the length of this would-be appointment. It's on the long side, right?
Sure, yeah. This justice would be on the bench until 2020. Should give them, and then in April of 2020, they would run to retain their seat, similar to what we saw with Justice Rebecca Bradley, who had been appointed and then ran just earlier this month.
And that appointee, it seems like, would have a large advantage of incumbency with 4 years of decisions. How do you expect that might play into the selection that happens eventually?
Yeah, well, that's something I think that's really people are talking a lot about as they sort of muse and speculate as to who Governor Walker might choose, because I think the thought is that, you know, he wants someone obviously who has a lot of qualifications and has sufficient credentials, but someone that can really have a long career on the court. And so, yeah, I think that's definitely coming into play I sort of reported about that earlier this week, is how young is too young and what's that right balance between a young jurist, a relatively young jurist, and someone who has the appropriate credentials to be on the bench.
Right, and how are governors around the country weighing that question of how young is too young?
Well, it has varied, but what Governor Walker does do, which he established a Justice Selection Advisory Committee, that's a pretty common way that governors go about trying to figure out who they want to appoint. Governor Doyle had one as well, but you know, the Journal Sentinel reported in an op-ed today, too, that there are other bipartisan methods that apparently other states use as well. So it sort of depends on what you're looking at.
Well, so the Journal Sentinel, the editorial board, had a piece out calling on Governor Walker to appoint a bipartisan commission to recommend would-be appointees. And you said Governor Walker is doing something a little different than that. What is the distinction between the two?
Sure. So, well, Governor Walker, I suppose I wouldn't say that his he does have a committee. It's I wouldn't cast it at all as a bipartisan commission, but he has a committee mostly made up of private practice attorneys based in Milwaukee. I was just looking through the list. And one of the attorneys, William T. Curran, also served on Doyle's committee. But as far as I can tell, most of the attorneys on that committee do have Republican ties. So I have not found that there's a Democrat there. So the way that Walker's process works, according to his spokesman, is that the committee will do an initial review of applicants. They will talk to local attorneys and judges, and then they will conduct interviews. And then the committee will make a recommendation to the governor's office, and then his chief legal counsel, his deputy legal counsel, would get involved. They'll typically do a second round of interviews, but ultimately the governor will make the final decision. So the committee will make a recommendation, but ultimately it's his call.
So can anyone who's qualified apply? In theory, this isn't the sort of thing like with the United States Supreme Court, where the president can seek out and recruit a candidate.
So it kind of can go both ways. So I think anyone can apply. The governor put out a call yesterday asking for applications and sort of laid out what one needs, pretty typical resume, cover letter, writing samples. But the governor can approach people as well. I don't see any reason he couldn't, and ask them to apply and sort of find people that way as well. And I think the question that some have, critics of how Walker has appointed jurists in the past, might look at, you know, what do the people of Wisconsin want in a justice? I mean, ostensibly, you want someone who maybe is really the best qualified for that job. And there's people in the camp that think that, you know, having many, many years on the bench is what, you know, really makes someone among the most qualified.
Yeah, it was interesting to see that. This is an appointment for the state Supreme Court, and all the applicant needs is a resume, a cover letter, and writing samples. Kind of expected it to be a little bit more, but I guess this is the way it works.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was a little bit kind of interesting, too. I mean, it's hard to say, I guess, what deliberations behind closed doors look like, and what types of things, you know, are the most important considerations and qualifications for Governor Walker. But, yeah, I mean, I think to the average person, you would imagine that they really are looking for the very best judge in the state. And so it's interesting to discuss about what that means and who that really looks like. So
we're talking with Caitlin Farrell right now, Cap Times public affairs and investigative reporter. We're looking at the process to replace Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, who's retiring, David Prosser. And Caitlin, you reported on who might appear on Governor Walker's short list, likely candidates for this job. Who's at the top of this list?
Sure. So some of the people I've talked to have often been citing Judge Brian Hagedorn as a top contender. He, relatively speaking, is a rather young jurist. He was appointed to the Court of Appeals by Governor Walker in 2015, but he also served as the governor's chief legal counsel from 2011 to 2015 during all of the Act 10 stuff. He also was a clerk for Justice Gableman. He, as far as I'm aware, has not confirmed whether he will be applying or has been tapped. But WisPolitics also had reported that Judge Jim Troupas, he's a Dane County Circuit Court judge, had confirmed he will be applying. I spoke with Judge Randy Koshnick. He ran in 2009 against Justice Abrahamson, and he told me that he will be applying. Judge Koshnick's daughter, Katie Ignatowski, she currently serves as Walker's chief legal counsel, and Judge Koshnick told me that his daughter indicated she will remove herself from that process, the selection process. So those are kind of the top names. Also, I'd heard Mike B. Brennan. He's an attorney in Milwaukee, and he actually currently serves as chair of Governor Walker's Judicial Selection Advisory Committee. But I was told if he does, in fact, apply, he would, you know, remove himself also from that selection process.
So you've got a short list of people right now who look like likely contenders for this position. And, you know, we assume that these candidates are going to be conservative. Do you know what sort of justice the governor is looking for? Is he presumably considers a conservative justice to fill that seat?
Right. Well, I wouldn't go so far to speculate speculate on to what specifically Governor Walker might be looking for, but for people who are following his patterns, I mean, he has had a pattern of nominating and appointing judicially conservative, they would describe it, judiciously conservative judges to the bench. And I think that many people think there's no reason to believe that he would divert from the pattern that we've seen from him since he's been in office. And as I reported to yesterday, there's real variances into, you know, different conservative approaches.
Right, yeah. Can you take us through some of those conservative approaches and maybe if you have any thoughts about what Governor Walker might be considering in the footsteps of Judge Prosser? That would be interesting, too.
Sure. Well, and I think comparing, you know, or looking at who Walker might choose compared with the legacy of Prosser is somewhat interesting. There are those who say that Prosser, particularly early in his career, was somewhat of an unpredictable vote. He wasn't always reliably in the conservative camp. And so it's somewhat interesting to think about whether Walker would appoint someone who maybe would be an unpredictable swing. I don't know that many people think that he will actually do that. But you have people who sort of look at judicial conservatives in two different camps. You have one that had been modeled more after the Justice Scalia camp, which looks at the Constitution, would understand the law, looking at the Constitution in just a really kind of fundamentalist word-for-word understanding, not really looking at all between intentions of the framers or interpretations, but really just the plain language of what the law says. They would be textual originalists. And then you have folks more sort of in the Robert Bork camp who might consider like historical context or sort of the psychological background or context of the framers of the Constitution and sort of try to understand and interpret the law through those lenses. So there are some distinctions between how we understand people more ideologically to the right might read the law. So some folks argue that those distinctions really make a difference, and others say that really at the end of the day they don't, because there's still going to be an ideological conservative majority there. So,
and Caitlin, how long do you think this process is going to last, and what is the next step?
I really have no idea how long the process may last. I mean, the next step. I know that applications are going to be accepted. The governor's office said that they will be accepting them until May 19th. I'm not sure. Prosser has said that he will retire in July. So the session then, Supreme Court session will end. And so I imagine that Walker will seat someone, you know, to be ready for the next session. But hard to say when exactly we might hear about that. So,
Caitlin, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Caitlin Farrell, the Capital Times public affairs and investigative reporter, talking about the process to replace Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice David Prosser.
Coming up, we'll look at the emotional lives of boys and men. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.